Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Chrissy Mernon, and my guests are Beverly Cohen. She is the president of the San Antonio Cancer Council. It's a volunteer organization. And Dr. Ruben Mesa, he's a hematologist, and he's the director of the Mays Cancer Center at UT Health San Antonio, MD Anderson. And we're talking about cancer. And anytime we do an interview about cancer, I say find a family in San Antonio or the area that hasn't been touched by cancer. It's quite hard because cancer, in one way or another, touches us all. Tell me about the San Antonio Cancer Council, please, Beverly, what y'all do. And I know you have an event coming up.
Yes, we do, Chrissy. And thank you so much for having us this morning. Our next event is coming up on May 7th, and that's our annual spring luncheon. And we're very excited this year because our guest speakers are Dr. Henrich, Dr. William Henrich, who is the director or president of UT Health San Antonio, and his son, John, who's a prominent attorney in Dallas, and Bob Rivard will be our moderator. And they're going to talk about Dr. Henrich's amazing journey through cancer himself when he contracted a very rare form of blood cancer back in 2010. So we're really excited about that. And that's one of our major fundraisers for the year. And as most people know, the Cancer Council, our primary function is to raise funds for research and patient assistance at the Cancer Center here in San Antonio.
How did you get involved with the San Antonio Cancer Council?
You know, it's really interesting, Chrissy, because I have a very good friend, Pam Burdick, who invited me to a meeting about 5 years ago. I'd never even heard of the Cancer Center, and then it was called the CTRC. And I went to a meeting, and I was just absolutely amazed at what was happening here in San Antonio with regard to curing cancer and studying cancer. So I went to that meeting and then thereafter got involved in the council, and here I am 4 years later as the president.
So what does the Cancer Council do? And I ask that because when cancer strikes someone, it devastates them and their family and their finances, and the Cancer Council steps in?
The Cancer Council steps in with volunteers to help with patient assistance. We do everything from counseling to greeting people as they walk in the door to directing them to their treatments to working with them on all kinds of services involving their family. And then on the other end, we raise funds, and we donated over $4.5 million to date for research and patient assistance.
And what have you learned about the research going on in San Antonio?
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. And if you ever come over to the Cancer Center and take a tour, you'll be amazed at the technology and the breakthroughs that are happening right here in San Antonio that most people think only happen at places like MD Anderson. But thanks to Dr. Mesa and his staff and Dr. Henrich and his staff, it's amazing the breakthroughs that are happening here, and I'll let Dr. Mesa talk more about that.
Okay, Dr. Ruben Mesa, he is the director of the Mays Cancer Center at UT Health San Antonio, MD Anderson, a hematologist. Talk about what's going on at the Cancer Center, please.
The Mays Cancer Center is a NCI-designated cancer center, so it has a special responsibility from the National Cancer Institute to really work to decrease the burden of cancer here in San Antonio and South Texas. And to do that, we really focus on four things, and that includes several hundred physicians, scientists, nurses, physician assistants, on, working together in areas from research practice, care delivery, and education. But our four areas of focus are really these things. First, really a focus on our community. How do we better help enhance the prevention of cancer in San Antonio to begin with? Enhance cancer screening, utilization of screening, active behaviors to prevent cancer in the community through safety, through behavior modification, etc. Second is understanding the biology of cancer. And we are really blessed with tremendous scientists who really study cancer. Why do we develop it? Why is it so difficult? How can we more effectively target cancer? The third area of focus are better treatments. That includes better drugs. That includes leveraging the revolution of utilizing the immune system to battle cancer. That includes better surgeries, safer ways of delivering radiation therapy, more individualized therapies. And then finally, we focus on our patients through how we support them, through their entire walk through cancer, whether that is as a cancer survivor, whether that is walking a more difficult road. It is there where our close partnership with the San Antonio Cancer Council has been so impactful through their support of efforts in patient and family wellness. Indeed, supporting our patients through that journey is a key part of our focus.
Dr. Messett, tell me about you becoming a doctor, where you lived, where you came from. And I ask that because I want you to compare your other cities to San Antonio.
Sure. So I'm originally a Chicagoan, and I, like almost all of your listeners, have been touched directly by cancer. My mother is a breast cancer survivor. I lost my father to lung cancer. So I don't have to go any further out than that than show two different ways it went. One way it went well, one way it didn't go well. So touched very deeply by that. I studied medicine at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, a world-class institution, and there did my training and focused really on cancers of the blood. Moved from there to the Mayo Clinic in Arizona, in Scottsdale, Arizona, where I led our cancer services and led hematology and medical oncology, and was recruited here to San Antonio by President Henrich and the wonderful team here at UT Health San Antonio. And what really attracted me were really several key things. One, San Antonio is a tremendous community with a deep history and individuals who care profoundly about their community in a way that's very, very special. Two, the needs here in San Antonio are great. You know, we have a large population. We have a diverse population, uniquely diverse in many ways. But cancer is a big problem in San Antonio. And there are certain cancers that are even more common than we expect. And some individuals have cancer in San Antonio and have not necessarily benefited as well from therapy as others might in other areas. Sometimes they present with a cancer in a more advanced form, or they have other medical problems that have been barriers to treating cancer. So the challenge here was great, but really with a tremendous vision of President Henrich, the tremendous support of our world-class institution at UT Health San Antonio, our new dean of the medical school, who also is a world-renowned cancer investigator and deeply passionate about cancer care. We've really pulled together an amazing team and a very exciting time to be here at the Mays Cancer Center, along with our new and special relationship with MD Anderson.
You know, when people in San Antonio get cancer, I know a lot of them think, I've got to go to MD Anderson in Houston because it's world-renowned and the best place to treat cancer. So now we have MD Anderson in San Antonio?
Correct. So the Mays Cancer Center is a partner-level member of the MD Anderson network. We have a deep relationship with MD Anderson, which now has been going on a little over a year, but really began in earnest as of this February. How MD Anderson delivers cancer care, they deliver cancer care both in Houston, at other sites in Houston, and now several members of their cancer network really around the U.S. and even around the world. Mm-hmm. It's really around the model of care that we have captured here in San Antonio so people can receive that same world-class cancer care here in San Antonio. It's around how the care is delivered. It's around shared decisions between our faculty and MD Anderson as to what the state of the art is in breast cancer or colon cancer or prostate cancer. It's about weaving the latest updates in science here from San Antonio and in Houston and finding ways to really bring that transformative care to individuals here in San Antonio.
What's the number one cancer in San Antonio, and is that different from the number one cancer? I guess the cancer killers are, is it lung the number one?
Correct. So lung cancer remains our number one cancer killer, but certainly, you know, the most burdensome cancers for our community are breast cancer, our lung cancer, prostate cancer, amongst many others. There are some cancers that are less common, but they are so severe that they can be more frequently life-threatening, such as pancreatic cancer. And there are cancers that are very common, like breast, that we've made tremendous strides. Sadly, we still lose many women to breast cancer, although we have cured many women with breast cancer. So in each of them, it's an individual areas of progress, but overall, we're making great progress.
Mm-hmm. I recently had a colon cancer surgeon here, and he talked about obesity was a huge problem. Does that have a link to cancer? People losing their gallbladder, colon cancer developing, obesity?
Without question. Obesity has a number of implications for our health, from high blood pressure, diabetes, and others. But one that people frequently are not aware of is how it is linked with many different types of cancer. Indeed, at UT Health San Antonio, under the umbrella of the Mace Cancer Center, we're bringing together all of the physicians and care teams involved really with cancer prevention and screening to try to see how we can really make an impact for the people of San Antonio. Through one, individuals that are at higher risk, and they specifically are at higher risk of cancers from colon, kidney, lung, and several others, liver, that are associated with obesity. You know, should we be screening them in a different way? Should we be more proactive in terms of identifying cancer early? Second, really, how can we help that difficult battle that many of us have had in terms of helping them to try to lose weight for all of the important benefits it has in terms of their health?
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one because the medical community, talks about obesity is just so detrimental to us. Yet, you know, here in San Antonio, we always wind up on the list of, you know, the 10 heaviest, fattest people in the country.
It truly is a very difficult struggle. I mean, again, and we're fortunate to have some really world-class investigators really looking at that issue. We have a special research program with tremendous leadership from Emily Ramirez, a scientist here at UT San Antonio that is really known around the world as a leading scientist really in behavioral science, behavioral modification. We have the components which are typical in any community in terms of behavior modification, weight loss, and there are so many barriers around that. Most of the foods which are the healthiest for us, they tend to be more expensive. Frequently, it takes more effort to get them because they're fresher. Sometimes there's more complicated preparation. It's a lot easier to make mac and cheese than to make salmon. It's a lot cheaper to make mac and cheese than to make salmon. So there's a lot of barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, a lot of the comfort foods are processed to be tastier. You know, so many, many barriers. We have the additional barrier in San Antonio that, again, there are many issues which are both cultural or language-based or others that the understanding in the community as to why obesity can be detrimental to health is really not fully understood. So that team works in many ways, not only in terms of changing that behavior, but studying, well, how does one really communicate that message in a way that can be impactful? And then how do you really help people make a difference? So we have an investigator, Dr. Vargovic, who has experimented with new types of mobile device apps that can look at healthier diets, anti-inflammatory diets, and to see in collaboration with partners which are both chefs and partners in grocery food chains and things of that nature, how do you help people accomplish this? How do you deliver them recipes that they can utilize that aren't too difficult? How can you help them learn to shop better when they go to the grocery store? How do you help them navigate a menu in a restaurant, which frequently, again, is a barrier? Portions are big. Few of the items tend to be healthy. So many different contributors, but a lot of individuals working to really try to help people overcome that difficulty.
So diet is a huge factor in preventing cancer. Let's talk about preventing cancer. What can we do? What do we have the power to do to prevent cancer?
Sure. So there are some areas where we've made great strides. I'd say as a society, probably one of the greatest areas we've made strides is really smoking. You know, certainly as all of us have grown up over the years, the number of people we know who smoke have decreased, and the exposure to secondhand smoke has decreased. So that's helped tremendously. And that's smoking contributes to many cancers, not just lung cancer, without question. Still, tobacco is still out there, and there still are people who are smoking. You know, so tobacco in almost all of its forms, whether it's chew, which can predispose us to mouth cancers, to pipes, to cigars, to cigarettes, there's pretty much no form that really is safe for us or does not increase the risk of cancer. Cancer prevention now also includes other components, such as the utilization of certain vaccines. So the most impactful is what's called the human papillomavirus vaccine, or HPV. This is a virus that is central to the development of cervical cancer. And now we have found is related to increased risk in genital urinary cancers in both men and women, as well as head and neck cancers for a variety of reasons. These vaccines can help to prevent cancer. Unfortunately, we know that in Bexar County and this region, the rates of people that receive the vaccine are very low compared to other areas and compared to even standards around the United States.
Why is that?
I think there are many reasons. One, it's a new type of vaccine. And anytime there's a new type of vaccine that, you know, moms and dads didn't have when they were kids, it sounds different to them. So trying to overcome that education barrier, well, it's a new type of vaccine, and why is it helpful? Two, again, there are both cultural and language issues in terms of communicating these things that are opportunities. So there are investigators at the Mace Cancer Center, such as Dr. Gail Tomlinson, that co-leads our cancer prevention and screening program, and she leads our PEDS, hematology, and medical oncology group, trying to better understand how can we increase those rates of vaccination through education, and is that education in both English and Spanish? And then what do you actually tell individuals to help demystify their concerns that they have regarding a vaccine?
Because what you're saying about that is because it's sexual in nature, some parents have said, well, if you immunize my child against this, they'll be sexually active at a younger age, because it's important that girls and boys get that vaccination at a certain age?
Well, Chrissy, I think you're exactly spot on. You know, one, there is certain groups of individuals misinterpreting the purpose of the vaccine, that by receiving the vaccine, it somehow is condoning more promiscuous behavior, which is clearly not the case. This is a virus that's very common out in the community and can be transmitted sexually. You know, so individuals, again, if they are sexually active at any age, are likely to be exposed to this. So this is not about them becoming sexually active at a younger age. This is about really whenever that activity occurs in their lifespan, you know, this clearly remains a risk. Two, clearly the education over time that it's really both boys and girls, because it clearly both are able to carry the virus and both can be affected in a variety of ways. Third, there is a component, again, as individuals have concerns over, quote, the safety of vaccines, which as a healthcare provider, I think have not been accurately portrayed. There's always that concern as well. Well, another vaccine, how safe is that? You know, vaccines overall have been one of the most impactful things from a public health perspective that we have been able to employ. So it's been natural over time. There are more vaccines now than there were before. Better vaccines for meningitis, vaccines for HPV, vaccines for shingles, to try to prevent shingles. So again, building on all of the other vaccines we know are helpful, such as the flu or measles or mumps, you know, et cetera.
And then what are some other things that we can do to prevent cancer? Exercise?
Without question, the healthier we are, you know, the lower our risk of cancer. It does not guarantee that we won't get cancer, unfortunately, but it clearly helps. So better diet, you know, both not being obese, but as well the diet itself. You know, we know diets that are high in fat, you know, fat in the intestine leads to the breakdown and development of chemicals that can increase risk of colon cancer and such. So it's not only obesity, it's a little bit around the content of the diet itself. Clearly, physical activity is key, without question. You know, getting adequate rest, you know, managing stress, all of these things that impact likely our immune system are impactful, really, in terms of preventing cancer. There certainly are efforts underway to investigate whether, for individuals that have high risk of cancer, you know, can we prevent them by anything more specific, you know, in terms of medications, supplements, or other things. You could think that we all have some risk of cancer, but based on our lifestyle, based on our family history, which can be very important, based on our genes, we might be more at risk or less at risk than average. You know, so we, again, brainstorm around both as a cancer center and as a practice. We're at UT Health. We are firmly committed to preventing cancer for the people of San Antonio. You know, what else can we do for high-risk individuals to really try to stop them from ever having cancer to begin with?
Our guest this morning, Dr. Ruben Mesa. He's the director of the Mays Cancer Center at UT Health San Antonio, MD Anderson. He's a hematologist. And Beverly Cohen, she's the president of the San Antonio Cancer Council. We're talking about cancer. You talked about people at high risk. And I'm sitting here thinking, doctor, you are at high risk because you had a father who died of lung cancer and a mother who survived breast cancer. So you've got it. You know, you've seen cancer on both sides, which is probably not unusual for a lot of folks. Same for me. Both sides. And when you get it on both sides, you think, whoa, you know, I'm at greater risk. So do you feel like you are? And what are you doing to negate or minimize that risk?
Sure. Well, without question, you know, when it comes to each individual cancer, we are able to, along really with our primary care doctors, who are really kind of our key quarterback in terms of our overall health. Are there cancers, depending upon which cancer a family member had and when, kind of increases or decreases that. So in my own personal case, my mother had a breast cancer, but she had it after menopause, which makes it less likely to impact the rest of the family, but probably not zero. There's still, she got a cancer, so we're at higher risk. My father got lung cancer, but he was a smoker. So again, there were both factors, but you know, one can't add that up and say that that's not at higher risk. You know, so certainly as I visit with my primary care doctor, you know, it's, again, should I be having any extra screening? Certainly try to do everything I can in terms of my own health, in terms of weight and exercise, things of that nature. Clearly have avoided smoking. Clearly have avoided any significant amounts of alcohol. Alcohol, too, particularly in larger quantities, can be a risk factor for cancer, right? Particularly of the head and neck when it's at a high degree and such. But key, in the U.S., there are screening guidelines for cancer that at a minimum are important that we all follow. And the ones that tend to be not utilized to the degree that it should, particularly are things such as colorectal cancer screening. You know, there's a cancer, if I think about, you know, what are some of the both most preventable cancers, colorectal surfaces are high on that list for several reasons. The first is that most colon cancers first start as colon polyps in the colon, and that through the process of screening, through colonoscopy starting at age 50 or earlier, if you're at high risk, you know, we can frequently find these polyps before they turn into a cancer. And if they're removed, then it won't turn into a cancer. We find a lot of polyps. We have to adjust our rate of screening to really stay on top of that. If people have high risk in their families, we screen them at a higher rate. If individuals do have colon cancer, one of the most important things we can do is find it early. As with many cancers, If we find them early enough to remove them by surgery, the individual is likely to be cured. If we find cancer in an advanced phase, then they are more likely to pass away from that cancer. So that's crucial in several cancers that we do screen for. Colorectal cancer, obviously. Breast cancer. So the whole process of mammography and when to do mammography, breast self-exams, and all of these components. You know, clearly for breast cancer, the earlier we find it, the better, without question.
Mm-hmm.
Also in that mix, you know, are, again, lung cancer. You know, now we have evolved. Individuals that are smokers, should we be doing screening? Many studies have suggested yes. Not for the general public. It's not, in non-smokers, it's not common enough, although it still can occur. But it's, again, about finding groups that are at higher risk. How do we screen them more aggressively and appropriately in a way that can, if they develop a cancer, catch it at an early stage?
And, you know, you talk about these tests. I know they all take money. And so I would think that that people who don't have insurance or don't have enough money, that they're at greater risk just because financially they're not able to afford these things.
That's correct. That certainly has been a challenge. You know, there are both areas of philanthropic support that can help individuals in terms of these appropriate screening without question. There are also efforts in terms of the science to try to make screening be easier and cheaper. You know, so there's much effort in research. You know, one of the largest barriers, let's say, for colorectal cancer screening, you know, people say, well, you know, you hear the data on colonoscopy, why doesn't everyone have one? Well, it's a test. It's you know, an involved test. You know, people have to drink this prep fluid that you know, isn't the tastiest, and then it's having the colonoscopy that, although people are sedated for, you know, there's frequently a mental barrier. You know, I don't know if I want to have that test. So people will do it on a delayed way. You know, so if we could screen for that in other ways and do fewer colonoscopies in the future, that might be helpful. So there are many efforts now trying to identify cancer in earlier forms through blood tests or other methods that don't involve invasive testing. Now, these are experimental and likely would be coupled with other testing, but trying to make it cheaper and easier is certainly a key focus to try to make it more feasible for, you know, everyone to be appropriately screened.
So that's what the medical community is working on and y'all are working on over at the Mays Cancer Center at the UT Health San Antonio MD Anderson?
Absolutely.
Great. And one of your partners is the San Antonio Cancer Council. Before we run out of time here, Beverly Cohen is the president, and you want to invite people to come participate in an event you have coming up because it's a fundraiser, your biggest fundraiser.
It's one of our largest fundraisers, and again, that will be held on May 7th at the Omni Colonnade at 11:15, from 11:15 to 1. And anyone who is interested, we still have a few tickets available, and you can purchase those tickets online. Just go to the website, sacancercouncil.org, or you can call the Cancer Center, 210-450-1425. Again, that's 210-450-1425. And you'll be greeted by a beautiful young lady by the name of Jen Collazo, and she will help give you information on how you can attend. So come hear Dr. Henrich's incredible journey through his own cancer.
Okay, and if people need help, sometimes the Cancer Council arranges rides, you have a food pantry, and then you have experienced people who have been through cancer and can say, you know, I've been there, and you'll get through this.
Absolutely. And you know, Chrissy, one of the things that I learned when I joined this council was that one of the barriers to treatment is that there are so many people that don't have transportation. They have no way to even get there to get their treatment. So what we as a council do is we try to raise funds, and we do raise lots of funds, to help with transportation. And I was talking with the director yesterday, and she said that we have transportation available. We have three vans. that leave at 6 o'clock in the morning and they run through 5 o'clock in the evening, and they leave every hour on the hour to pick up patients and deliver patients that have no transportation.
That's great. I want to thank you both for coming by this morning. Beverly Cohen, she's the president of the San Antonio Cancer Council, and Dr. Ruben Mesa, he's a hematologist, director of the Mays Cancer Center at UT Health San Antonio, MD Anderson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.